Good morning, gentlemen.
This is the model of the orchestra rehearsal one has grown up with.
Now, gentlemen, we rehearse.
The conductor is at the podium.
The symphony in six.
Complete with European accent.
Ram, papa, papa, papa. Gentlemen, your eights are too long.
He calls them gentlemen because that is what an orchestra was then. This is Bruno Walter, after all, with the Columbia Symphony Orchestra in a famous rehearsal of the Linz Symphony of Mozart, recorded in 1955.
Too long.
And, for the most part, other than the women now in orchestras and a new breed of American conductors that began with Leonard Bernstein, not all that much has changed. Except for Orpheus, that is. The conductorless chamber orchestra that for 28 years has taken another road, one of shifting, fluid leadership and distinctly participatory style. Orpheus rejects the notion of an autocratic leader with a grand vision of his or her own and embraces a group aesthetic now well known to music enthusiasts. The group has been the subject of a documentary film, countless magazine and newspaper articles, and Orpheus has become the model for business management analysts looking for ways to teach teamwork in the corporate world. A book on their approach is due out in the spring.
The Orpheus that's emerged today is the Darwinian survivor of a lot of different efforts to find ways of working together.
Harvey Seifter is Orpheus's executive director.
This is not a leaderless orchestra. This is an orchestra of many leaders, where everyone has the opportunity to lead, and at times everyone has the imperative to follow.
The group elects an ever-changing three-person body to govern, in a way, its rehearsals. But interpretation, tempo, style, these are all open questions, subject to lengthy group interaction, inclusive of every player.
I also thought the very opening could be a little more dramatic. Ta-da! Ta-da! Shut-da! Really big your deal. Like that.
We spend a lot of time talking.
Melissa Mell is a cellist in the group.
We have to work very hard to stay focused and stay on track and make sure, okay, we discussed this, but let's go back and really make that happen.
There are times in Orpheus rehearsals where you get frustrated with the process.
Nardo Poi is a violist.
Or we feel we're hitting a wall, and sometimes we'll joke and say, okay, where's the conductor, you know. But, you know, it's part of the process.
So the experience of playing in Orpheus is obviously very different from the experience of playing in a more conventional orchestra under a conductor whose vision all the players are required to realize. What is the difference for the listener? Can you feel the absence of a conductor in listening, say, to the opening of the Haydn Farewell Symphony? Here's a conducted performance. And here's another conducted performance. And now listen to what Orpheus does with the opening strains of Haydn's 45th. What I hear, in this case at least, is not the absence of a conductor, but the presence, if you will, of an incredibly precise, balanced ensemble. That's not to say that every musical comparison will have the same results, but when the Orpheus musicians talk about the high degree of transparency they're able to achieve, the sense that one can hear every voice in every corner of the orchestra, it's true, they do get that. Some of it, of course, is due to their size. With 27 players, they're smaller than most orchestras, but their style also reflects an enormous amount of work together in this uniquely collaborative way.
We should play incredibly soft here.
So do they long sometimes for a seductively charismatic leader who will take them away from all this talk and negotiation?
Sure. I mean, because that seductive charismatic figure, if you believe in that seductive charismatic figure, can lead you to all sorts of places and simplify the process. We all yearn for that at times because it does make things easier. The closest we get to that is when we work with these fantastic soloists that come in and play with us, and they love it too.
At a recent rehearsal with Renee Fleming, Orpheus and the soloist, working together for the first time, made tentative moves to begin with.
It's not quite that fast.
Too fast.
What do people do? Should I conduct a little bit?
Yeah.
At least while we're
now.
There.
Right for now,
it's really
okay.
And soon Fleming was right into the swing of, in fact, being the temporary leader of the group.
So I'll do a portamento after the...
And in almost no time, orchestra and soloist had established a real rapport.
I'm getting it.
And that is often the way of things with this team, accustomed as they are to embracing new and shifting directors and relying on their own individual wisdom and skill to take them through every piece.
Orpheus can do anything.
Ronnie Bouch is a violinist and the artistic coordinator of the group.
There is nothing that a conductor can do better than Orpheus could do it itself.
To the wisdom and skill, add belief.
I read an interview with Bill Russell, the old Boston Celtic, and he described the greatest games of his life were the finals of his Boston Celtics against the Los Angeles Lakers, when Wilt Chamberlain was his nemesis, in a sense, the center. And he said that at the end of the game, when these teams had played each other and fought each other game after game, and he knew not only all the players on his team so intimately and all their moves, but he knew all the players on the opposing team. And he said at the end of the game that literally the time would stand still, it would slow down. And he was completely overtaken by the beauty of the game, and he really didn't care who won or who lost. And for me, that's the closest description in non-musical terms of what happens in an Orpheus or a chamber music-like performance, when time almost stands still and you're so clued in, so focused on what your partners, what your colleagues are doing, that you can almost predict what they're going to do, and so you're able to put out a new idea and have them be able to receive that pass and go on from there.
Orpheus, still together at 28. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin.